Welcome into a Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. I'm Jessica Cootie and very, very excited to be joined here in studio today with the three-time All-American Brock Hardy with Nebraska Wrestling. Again, Huskers, one of the top teams in the country coming off last year's runner-up finish and a big weekend ahead this weekend with two top 25 teams coming inside to Vandy. So to talk about that and a senior season, Brock, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm so super glad to be here.
We were chatting. I think this is your fourth time to come on the podcast or on the radio with us.
Yes, I think it is. It's been good each time.
Can you believe it's your senior season?
I can, right? I feel like I've been here for a while, and you know, I feel every bit of, you know, being a senior, and but you know, I'm excited for it.
What has been your approach? I mean, obviously, you guys are kind of moving closer towards being all in Big Ten, you know, competition. But when you approach this last go at it, what were some of the things that you kind of set out for yourself and how you wanted to approach this season?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, obviously the goal, I feel like the goal hasn't changed. The goal is to be a national champ, and the goal is to be a Big Ten champ, and the goal is to win the match in front of me. But, you know, I think that a bigger focus of this season is that, you know, we proved that what we've been saying for the past, you know, since I've been here, that, you know, we are one of the best teams in the country. And so we did that. But now, you know, it's not just, we got to prove that it's not a fluke, right? And so, you know, we have to carry that intensity that we had at the start, at the end of the season last year. We got to have that for the whole season. And we got to, you know, we got to make people know that this isn't just happening for luck.
So you're right there. You obviously were one of the best in the country all year, finished second at Nationals. When you're that close, and you've been that close, you've been right there, how do you go about learning and figuring out what you need to do better? I mean, is it more of a mental thing? Is it more, what's that process like when you are so good already and you're right there on the brink of it? How do you get yourself over that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that since my freshman year, I feel that I've had the ability to be in a national champ, right? Like, I don't think I've lacked the technicality. Maybe I've lacked some of the strength in that, but for the most part, I think that it is a mental thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I, you know, overcame a lot of mental hurdles over the past 2 years. And it's hard to overcome all those mental hurdles and then come up short. And now it's not like, oh, you just get to retry that last one more time, right? Like, I have to re-overcome all of the mental hurdles that I've overcame the past couple of years. And so, you know, it's just being extremely mentally focused and mentally prepared for everything.
Is there anything, I guess, technically wise that you were trying to really focus on and improve upon?
Yeah, I mean, I can always become more well-rounded. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that sometimes I wrestle in a very, I'm very, you know, my matches, I can score a lot of points, but I can give up a lot of points. And so
why is that?
I guess it's just kind of like, you know, if you let it fly, like, it's just willing to, you've got to be willing for it to happen to you, right? Like,
yeah.
it's, I think there's other sports that are like this that could be a better analogy, but, you know, it's just, you know, I try my best to score a lot, which means I'm probably going to be really open to get scored upon a lot. Hmm. And so I need to be able to keep scoring, but, you know, being able to be more precise and be more, you know, less risky, I should say.
Fascinating. Well, how about the team? You talked about it. You know, you guys had a heck of a season, took Husker Nation and the entire wrestling world by storm last year and what you did at Nationals. A lot of guys back from that group. What was, as a team, as one of the leaders of this team, how did you guys go about, you know, again, approaching what the mindset and mentality and the goals of the overall group is going into this year?
Yeah, you know, I think that something that's really hard about wrestling is that there's two goals, really, that I think every kid has going into being, you know, wrestling in college, and that's to be an All-American and to be a national champ. And one is like the fallback to the other. Like, if I'm not a national champ, hopefully I'm an All-American. And, you know, a lot of our guys reached the goal, right? They were like, I'm an All-American now. And so I think that one of the best things that we can do is to forget those goals and to attack every day as if we're not those things anymore, right? And to remember that we're, you know, that we haven't reached the ultimate goal. And so every single day you have to train like you're a national champ and like you're going to be a national champ, right? And so I think that that's, you know, one of the things that we've worked on a lot is that just because you did it last year doesn't mean you get it next year. And, you know, if anything, more people are aware of you now. And so there's just, you know, we have to be that much more intentional in our training and that more intentional when we wrestle.
The culture is just so rock solid in that program and in that wrestling room. Has, now that you've been in it and gone through, you know, the changes of turning over a roster, have you found that it's less about, hey, this is what the culture is, and more about guys just know what the standard is and what it is from day to day?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that it helps that we have a lot of the guys still around, right? Like a lot of the guys that have been here and then done, but they keep competing, you know, like Liam Cronin, Peyton Robb, Christian Lance.
Ridge, you know, is still here, right?
Ridge is still here. Doesn't even feel like he graduated, right? you know, and we've had other guys, Eric Schultz and Mikey was around for a sec. You know, those, you see the work that they put in, you see the way that they intentionally wrestle. And so, you know, it is, you know, as much of a culture as it is a, you know, expectation, right? When you put on the singlet, you know, you are expected to carry yourself in a certain way and expected to perform in a certain way. And those expectations can be hard to deal with, but they're also, you know, kind of like putting on like a superhero costume in the sense that, you can rest easy in knowing that, you know, you've made it this far. You can keep going.
It's awesome. Okay, so recently you did a, what was it called? The Technique Tuesday for Flow Wrestling, and you broke down your signature low single leg attack. So I wanted to just ask you about that. Has that always been your signature move? How did that become your signature move?
Yeah, I mean, I've had weirdly long arms since I was a kid. And so I think that I've always really liked low singles. I remember watching John Smith when I was little. And so it has kind of always been my signature move. But the thing about wrestling is sometimes you just stop doing what you like, right? Like you start doing something completely different. And so I've obviously varied. I've had times where the high crotch is my favorite or, you know, a single leg. But, you know, something that was really successful for me through the NCAA tournament last year was that exact low single, which is funny because, you know, I probably hit my first low single when I was 8 years old. And so, you know, yeah, I'd say it's currently my favorite.
So what's the, I guess, the move, the technique that you've had to really get a lot better at, I guess, in the last couple of years?
Man, I feel like I've had to get better at a lot of positions. I would say one of the things that I've really, really worked on, even though you might not be able to tell it, is I've really tried to get better at my sprawl, which is what the first move you learn in wrestling is actually how to not let people grab your legs. But, you know, I'm really good at when people grab my legs doing good, but, you know, it's bit me a few times. And so I've really tried to work on my sprawl and work on, you know, not letting people grab my legs.
So Coach Manning came in and when we were previewing the season and talked about you are one that you absolutely have a future in this beyond college, and I know that's a goal of yours, and obviously Olympics in LA right around the corner. How do you go about to just, you know, also utilizing this year to continue to improve so that you are setting yourself up in a position to be able to achieve goals beyond collegiate wrestling? Or is it all about just college wrestling this year?
Man, I feel like I want to think about, you know, competing in the Olympics and competing in Worlds, but, you know, I think it was just kind of like how you said, like, at the end of the day, I will have opportunities to compete in freestyle after this, and I'm going to, but, you know, I only have 4 more months to do folk style, right? And so, obviously, everything I'm doing now is going to make me a better wrestler for after March. But, I have people asking me about, like, oh, you know, we should go do, you know, we should plan this summer vacation. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't think past March right now, right? And even that, you know, I can't even think past Saturday, Friday, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that everything I'm doing is going to only benefit me, right? And, you know, I've got a lot of I have a lot of great partners in the room that, you know, they're getting me better at freestyle without even knowing it. And so I think, you know, I think I think I'm going to just trust the process that what I'm doing now is going to make me better then.
That's great. Great perspective. You know, and I know obviously you've moved on from last year, but you've had a couple of quotes, done some interviews since the runner-up finish last year. And I just think you have such a great perspective that I think it's important for other athletes to hear that, you know, it was disappointing. It hurt because it's ultimately what you want, but you approach it in a way to where it's not going to completely ruin you. Can you give us that perspective and why that's been important for you to approach everything that you do in that way?
Yeah. You know, I kind of learned this, you know, when I gave up wrestling for 2 years. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I remember, you know, having these talks, whether or not I should go on a mission or whatever. And at the end of the day, I was like, you know, it's just a game that I really like to do, you know, and that I want to get better at. But at the end of the day, like, I wouldn't trade it for my family and I wouldn't trade it for, you know, my faith. And so, you know, I go and I wrestle with a full intention of doing my best and winning. But I know that, you know, I think I've said this on somewhere else that, you know, no matter what the result was of that NCAA finals match, I knew that the first thing I would do is hug my coaches and hug my family, mm-hmm. right? And I knew that they would love me and support me no matter what when I stepped off the mat. And so it's a certain aspect of freeing is that the only reason why I'm doing something is for me, right? I'm not doing this to make my parents proud. They are proud of me, right? I'm not doing this so that way my wife will love me more. She loves me no matter what. And I'm my coaches, you know, they want me to win just as bad as I do. But, you know, they know who I am and they know what I'm capable of. And so they understand. And they've been there before. Literally, they've been there before, right? And so, you know, I think that the understanding is that I want to win a national title for me. And so I feel like it's very freeing to think like that.
That's fantastic. Great stuff. So, you know, we've obviously documented your story here and when you went on the mission and went away from wrestling for a while. I read something fascinating that you learned Portuguese.
I did.
Can you speak it fluently?
Yes, I can.
Do you still keep up on it, even though you don't speak it every day or?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, how would I describe it? So I got to go back this summer to Brazil. And so I got to speak it again with the people and like, just like that, it starts coming back.
Yeah.
But like if I were to like cold start it, it is a little bit not as clean. But yeah, I mean, so I was actually this Sunday had a friend of mine from Brazil reach out to me and I sat and spoke to him for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And so, yeah, it was really a cool opportunity to be able to learn Portuguese.
Was it hard to learn?
Very. Yeah. Very. Yeah. You get like 6 weeks of training of the language. You don't learn much. You learn, you know, hi, how are you, whatever. You know, how much ever you'd think you'd learn in a class is about what you'd learn in 6 weeks. And then when I got to Brazil, you know, you have housemates. And I had three housemates that were Brazilian that didn't speak English. And so it was me, three people. The only thing we knew how to really communicate to each other were the bare bones of Portuguese. They didn't speak any English, not even the bare bones English. And so, you know, it was...
Wow.
I had to learn a little bit being baptized by fire.
Wow. Talk about a lesson you can carry on for the rest of your life on how to communicate when you can't really communicate.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. That was the thing is, you know, I remember they would just use simple words that I knew, right? And so, actually, one of the first things that they said to me was, you know, I had like a safety wallet thing that my mom gave me. My mom was real worried about Brazil being dangerous. And I had it. And I was actually put into a really dangerous area off the bat. And so I was like talking to the person, I'm like, well, I need this. And I go, well, what's it for? And so I like, they like said like, por qué? And I was like, you know, I showed them like it goes in my pants. And they're like, you're going to need that here. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, really? And they're like, yeah. And then they pointed a gun at me and I was like, oh my gosh, okay.
Wow.
And so, yeah, bare bones communication. I also would use it the other way that sometimes I knew what they were saying, but I was just, I didn't want to talk to them. And so I would just be like, I don't understand you. I don't get it. And just watch them get flustered and angry, even though I did understand them.
Oh, that's funny. Can you say Go Big Red in Portuguese?
Vai Grande Vermelho.
I love it. We had a football signee that spoke five languages, and I had him run through it in French and all the things. So now we have it in Portuguese. One more time.
Vai grande vermelho.
I love it. I love it. Hey, you wrestling is fun is the logo. You coined that Correct. Last year, have all the merch out. But you have a new phrase I noticed this year.
Yeah, so I have a phrase that my sister's the one who does most of it, but there was it actually goes back, it's like kind of an inside joke from 3 years ago. I had a really controversial match with Bo Bartlett, and there was a call in the match that it was potentially dangerous. But it was like I was gonna get like the go ahead takedown to win the match, but they stopped it for potentially dangerous. Then like a day later, everyone, you know, all the sports media is talking about how it was, you know, whatever this. And so I just made a post that said I'm potentially dangerous and kind of like made like a joke about it, and it really popped off. And so we have a few merch things that say potentially dangerous on there.
So again, on your, if you go to your personal Instagram, it will lead you to where you can you can purchase all that merch, but it's awesome. I love the wrestling is fun. It's great that you, when did you realize, okay, I should coin this? Like, I should make this my phrase.
I mean, I remember when I first said, I said it to Travell right before the South Dakota State match. Well, I mean, we talked about it before, and like, he'd been like, you know, this is your message. But I remember I was like really nervous, and I was like, man, wrestling is fun. And so then I remember kind of after that being like, that's my thing, you know, and I would say it a lot, but I didn't have any merch for it. And then I made the world team for the U23 team in, what was that, 23? And we had to make a shirt that had to say something so that way we could raise money for Courtney to go. And so we were like, well, why don't we just make shirts to say wrestling is fun? And so then kind of been my thing since then.
I love it. It's awesome. Okay, so let's conclude this thing talking about this weekend, because it is a big weekend for Husker Wrestling inside Devaney. So two opportunities to see some high, high caliber wrestling. I know it's going to be electric inside the Bob, but two top 25 matchups at that. North Carolina, 7 o'clock on Friday. And on Sunday, it's a top 10 matchup with Oklahoma State. I know this team has battled some injuries. How do you guys feel? And you never want to be wrestling your best in November and October, right? But how do you guys feel at this point health-wise going into this weekend?
You know, I think we're really excited to, you know, I think we're all good, right? I think that no matter what, we're never going to be 100% because we're not going to be 100% in March, but we're just excited for another opportunity, you know, to wrestle, right? Mm-hmm. And really excited that they're really good teams, and really excited that one of the teams, you know, got the better of us already, right? And so we're just excited to wrestle these dudes, and especially wrestle the dudes that beat us.
Okay, so North Carolina on Friday, give us kind of the a preview of that one and kind of the keys to the Friday night.
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure all of their lineup. I know that my guy is a top 20 guy and he's good, and he has some good wins this season. And I know that Rob Cole, the head coach for UNC, goes back with Mark Manning. You know, I want to say that they were assistants together at some point. And so, like, they're longtime friends, but they're also, like, longtime enemies is a better way to put it. And so
frenemies.
Yeah, they're frenemies. And so, you know, this is a big one for us to get. I know that Manning coached at UNC at one point, and so, you know, we're gonna go put it to him, you know, and we're gonna get a little matchup with one of the better ACC teams. Trying to think of who they have that's really good. I think that they're just stout throughout, right? Yeah. I think that that's where their ranking comes from, is that they probably don't have one guy that's not ranked. I don't know if they have any guys, you know, top five, but every single one of them is a potential All-American.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said it lead into Oklahoma State?
Well, so for Oklahoma State, you mentioned it. This is one of the losses for this team this year. What were the things that didn't go right for you the first time around that need to be corrected this time?
Yeah, I mean, I think partially momentum was one of them, right? We just got off wrestling Ohio State where we had guys get hurt. We had close matches that we lost, and we got routed by Ohio State. And so, you know, we walked into the match, you know, a little bit already with our tail between our legs. We didn't wrestle. We had confusion of who's going to wrestle at 125 10 minutes before the match. And then We had both of our 33-pounders were hurt at the time. Omar broke his hand. Van D was dealing with collarbone issues. And so then we wrestled one of our 25-pounders at 33. So that's already tough. Antrell was hurt. So we were already, you know, forfeiting 57. In general, it felt like we were throwing the match before the match even started, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, Oklahoma State is really good. And so as soon as you're giving up, you know, and you're putting the non-optimal person out there, it's tough to win. And I think that we wrestled a little bit like that, right? I think we wrestled a little bit with, like, this idea of, you know, well, we're probably not going to win anyways, right? And so, you know, this weekend's going to be a lot different. This weekend it's home for us, right? For them, it was home for them then, right? Like, we were in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. Their crowd was there. Their crowd was really loud. We get at home, and we got, you know, 10 bullets firing.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, it's – you talked about the – a lot of different guys ranked on Friday, and then you turn right around and a lot of guys that are ranked in probably top 10 in these matchups on Sunday. How do you guys go about with the quick turnaround and making sure that you guys do have the juice to do both days?
Yeah, you know, I think there's going to be some management for some of the guys on the team for Friday. You know, if we don't need to, we won't wrestle everyone. And, you know, we have really good freshmen that can get out there and mm-hmm. use one of their contacts and you know, still get the win, right? I know... I won't spoil Manning's plans, but I know that we have one freshman that'll be wrestling this weekend that's going to be really exciting. And then, you know, it's something that we have to always be able to do is just bounce back, because that's going to be the Big Ten season. Mm-hmm. I know that we duel somebody on Friday and then Ohio State on Sunday. It might be Penn State into Ohio State, or it might be Iowa.
Yeah, you got some doozies coming up.
Yeah, we got some really good teams in the Big Ten. I want, you know, we duel 1, 2, 3, and 4, right? And so... or we are with 4. We do a 1, 2, and 3 within like a week span. And so it's something that we're built for, right? Something yeah. that we train for. And, you know, NCAAs is kind of like that. We wrestle Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so we got to be ready to do the same.
We were joking before we started recording that you're an athlete that doesn't always, you tune out a lot of the crowd, but I got a feeling it's probably going to be pretty hype inside Devaney this weekend. What does it do for the team to have that kind of support, to have Devaney rocking for you guys?
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, we love it. We love having people there. We love being able to see the people afterwards. We love, you know, when it gets loud. We love when every move we do, you know, is met with an applause. Because we've been on the opposite where, you know, I'm number 2 in the country and I'm getting taken down by a true freshman from Oklahoma State, you know, and the whole stadium's on fire, right? We're going to have a reverse of that. And, you know, I know that the Huskers are going to show up. I know that the Big Red fans are going to show up, and it's going to feel like that. When we got guys knocking off big dudes, it's going to be just ready for the roof to pop off.
Hey, your roaring of a stadium made me think. Bud Crawford announcing his retirement. He was here, walked out of the tunnel with you guys this season. What can you say about him and his career and, you know, what he means to – he's a big supporter of a lot of sports around here.
No, 100%. You know, he's a true Husker fan, and he's always been a fan of wrestling. I know that his kids wrestle, and he's the GOAT, right? Mm-hmm. You look at his track record, and it's undeniable. And, you know, I agree with what he did, you know, beating Canelo. There's not much left to prove, right? Everything else from here on out is going to be, you know, scenarios that are doing nothing for his legacy except for, you know, having the potential to tarnish it. You know, I think he's the GOAT. He's from Nebraska. He's also a good dude. Happy for him.
How cool was that?
It was so cool to have him walk us out. It was so cool. I'm sad we didn't get a lot of time to, like, talk to him, right? And it was, like, before a match, and I told you that I try to tune stuff out, but it was, like, you know, I got to dap him up real quick, and then he walked out in front of us, and, you know, he was pumped, and, you know, and his kids were there. It was really cool.
Oh, awesome. Always just such a pleasure talking with you, Brock. Appreciate your time. Best of luck this weekend and the rest of the season.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Brock Hardy here with us on this week's Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics.